Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 27, looking this morning at they who wait upon the Lord, a passage I'm sure many of us are familiar with, but nonetheless good to remind ourselves of as we read it through again. Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 27, the word of God says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless that reading of his precious word to all of our hearts this morning for his dear name's sake. It can be easy to rely on ourselves to get through life, whether it's in times of prosperity and times of fruitfulness, or whether it's in times of difficulty and confusion. The stresses that we find ourselves in, and often the stresses that we put upon ourselves, eventually do catch up on us and with us. Moses in the Old Testament learned that lesson the hard way, until Jethro told him to divide his work. Whenever Moses felt he had these burdens to perform all these tasks, and he wasn't meant to take on every task he saw. And Jethro reminded him of that because he said to him, "Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." And yet so often we try and do exactly that Moses did. We think it's all about us and that we're meant to do absolutely everything that we see and do it with all our might without any help from the Lord and the multitude of spiritual blessings that he says he is willing to bestow us with. And so it shouldn't surprise us whenever we go through times of spiritual burnout and times of spiritual frustration. And those moments can cause us to forget the Lord, cause us to forget all he has done for us as we try to find within ourselves some fresh source of strength, some fresh source of renewal and restoration. Particularly in these difficult days, it's so easy to rely on ourselves whenever it's just us at home. We can just feel like it's all about us, and it can often cause us to forget about the Lord. And whenever the goalposts constantly seem to be being moved, with hopes being raised and lowered with each public announcement, we really do need to be relying and waiting upon the Lord to see us through and to undertake in every single aspect. The people that were hearing this word of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 40 were God's people in exile in Babylon, and they had no imminent hope of return. They had grown discouraged and they had grown spiritually weak. They had seen the first few weeks and months go by thinking that God would soon turn things around, but eventually as time passes, they start to realize that what God had said to them about being there for 70 years was going to happen, and they grew frustrated and they grew discouraged and spiritually weak and spiritually depressed. Many of God's people share those feelings in these particular days, and so we're thankful that in some aspects the word of God never changes. The word of God that never changes is still as relevant, still as powerful, and still as life-changing today as it was to the people here in Babylonian exile. So I want to look at us who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord. I want to look first of all at Israel feeling rejected. Israel feeling rejected. In the verse 27, God speaking to his people, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" God here is asking these people questions as to why they're feeling the way they're feeling. He asks them, "Why sayest thou, O Israel? Why speakest thou, O Jacob?" He's asking these people to think within themselves. What possible reason do they have to think this way? Whenever you go through the whole of chapter 40, we haven't done so for the sake of time this morning, but if you go through the whole of chapter 40, God illustrates and God displays his power and his majesty and his might and his glory in various different ways. And so this comes to the climax at the end of this chapter. Considering all that we have read, why sayest thou, O Israel? Why speakest, O Jacob? Why would you even think about thinking this way? What possible logical, spiritual reason could you have to say that your way is hid from the Lord, that your judgment is passed over from him? How can you feel rejected, O Israel and O Jacob? Well, maybe these last 12 months, this is how you feel this morning. Maybe you feel like your way is hid from the Lord and that your judgment is passed over from your God. Maybe God's asking you this morning, why sayest thou? Why sayest thou, dear child of God? Why speakest thou, my way is hid from the Lord? Take the example of chapter 40. Think back over the way God has moved before, whether it's in your own life or whether it's in the life of the congregation or in the life of a nation. Think back to how God has moved. Think of how God continues to display his majesty and power and glory and might. Think back to how God continues to reveal himself to you. And in light of all of that, how can you say, why sayest thou that my way is hid from the Lord? Over these last 12 months, whenever it's just been us and God at home, do we trust him more or do we trust him less as time has gone by? Have we grown in our faith or have we grown more downcast and more discouraged? Have we reached this point that the people in exile here felt? Is God asking us to ask ourselves this morning, why sayest thou my way is hid from the Lord? Why sayest thou this morning that my judgment is passed over from my God? The people felt that they were out of God's sight. One of the questions God asked them, and one of the things that indeed they felt and they said to themselves, was that their way was hid from the Lord. They felt like they were out of God's sight. They felt like they were out of God's sight whenever they were taken away to Babylon, whenever they had been in exile for however long had passed since they had started to be there. And they grew discouraged, they grew depressed, and they feel like God isn't keeping an eye on them anymore. They feel like God has simply handed them over to King Nebuchadnezzar, to the guys in charge of Babylon, and he feels like God has stepped back and that for another 70 years, God isn't going to go anywhere near them. And they feel alone. They feel that their way was hid from the Lord. Maybe there's some that feel like that this morning. Do you feel like your way is hid from the Lord? Do you feel like you're out of God's sight? Do you feel insignificant among all the numbers? Whenever you turn on the news, whenever you read the paper, it's all about statistics. And it's all about the numbers, whether you're vaccinated yet or whether you're not, whether you've tested positive or whether you've not. None of us are able to say whether we've died or whether we've not. We're all alive this morning. But it's all about the statistics whenever, everywhere we turn. Maybe you just feel like you're lost among the statistics. Are your eyes focused on everything that you see around you? Are they focused on the Lord? Do you feel like your way is hid from the Lord? Again, taking into consideration the whole of chapter 40, God points to his creation around him. If you look at the verse 12 of chapter 40, for illustration's sake, in chapter 40 in the verse 12, he says, who hath measured the waters out of the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? In other words, if God has such great care and concern for these things, if these things are in the eye of God, if these things aren't hid from him, then how much more so can we not be hid from him? God has such care and concern, nothing is hid from him. He has created all of these things, he's done all of these things in terms of creation around him, and if he does that for creation, how can we as his people who are redeemed by the blood of his dear son this morning say that our way is hid from the Lord? Don't feel like you are lost within the number. You're not just a statistic in the sight of God this morning. Maybe you feel like your way is hid from the Lord. Because the people certainly felt that. They felt like God couldn't intervene. They felt like God wouldn't be able to make themselves known to him. But Jeremiah, one of the prophets of the time, he was able to declare both to the people and in praise to his creator, there is nothing too hard for thee. Even in Job's day, whenever he was in the middle of his laments, and it says in Job chapter 23, paraphrasing again for the sake of time, that he looked above him, he looked below him, he looked left, he looked right, he looked all around him, and he couldn't see God. He wanted to plead his cause before him. He felt like his way is hid from the Lord. But in the verse 10, he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Even though Job felt like he couldn't see the Lord, he knew that his way was known by God. God says he knoweth the way that I take. Dear believer, whether it's in the life of a nation like the people here in Babylon, or whether it's in the life of an individual like Job, our way is not hid from the Lord. Your way this morning is not hid from the Lord. His eye is still over all things. There were those who felt like they were out of God's sight. Maybe there were those who thought they were in God's sight, but maybe they thought they were out of God's mind. They asked the question, there were those that said, my way is hid from the Lord. There were those that felt, my judgment is passed over from my God. They felt like they were out of God's mind. They felt like even though God was seeing them there in Babylon, that God knew everything that was going on, they felt like God wasn't going to take their complaints seriously. They felt that God didn't hear their concerns. They felt like God didn't hear their prayers, that God wasn't going to intervene, and that God had just given them up. Maybe you feel this morning like you're out of God's mind. Even though you do believe that God is watching over you, that you do feel like the eye of God is still upon you, that you're still in His sight, maybe you feel like you're out of God's mind. Maybe you feel like these people in Babylon, that God isn't taking your concerns and your prayers seriously. That your judgment is just simply being passed over from the Lord. Do you feel like you're down the pecking order of how important your prayers are? Do you think your prayers are of less importance to God than the person beside you? Again, even taking into consideration that verse 12 again, of how God has measured out the waters in the hollow of His hand, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, has the hills in a balance. If God has such concern for all of those things, if those judgments aren't passed over from the Lord, if those things aren't out of His care, how can we then say today, this morning, that our judgment is passed over from our God? How can you say to the Lord this morning, my judgment is passed over from you? You know, if Christ was here on earth and He was trying to illustrate the love and the care and the concern that God has for His disciples, He pointed to the lilies of the field and how God had taken such care of them, how He clothes them, how He takes care of them. He pointed to the sparrows in the air and how God takes care of them, how He feeds them, how not one falls to the ground without Him knowing. He knows the price that they were worth in the market. And to summarize it all, He says to the disciples, ye are worth more than many sparrows. If God has such concern for the sparrow, how much more concern does He have for you? You're worth more than many sparrows. And that word many sparrows, it means a great multitude beyond number. If all the sparrows in the world were put on one side of a balance and you were put in the other, it's no match. It's no match in the eye of God. Even with everything that's happened over the last 12 months, whenever this time last year the effects of what was going to happen were starting to be seen this side of the world anyway, even after everything that's happened, dear believer, know this morning that your judgment is not passed over from your God. Don't think you're down the order of importance in what God's trying to deal with. This pandemic has not taken God by surprise. We can still cry to Him and plead with Him as much as we were able to this time last year. We can come to Him as if there is nothing else happening, knowing that He is willing and able to answer prayer. In chapter 43 of Isaiah, God reminds the people of the wonderful future they still have. Even though they were in Babylonian captivity, God could still see them. They weren't out of God's sight. They weren't out of God's mind. God reminds them of that. He reminds them in the chapter 43, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Those wonderful verses I'm sure many of us know so well. He calls them precious in His sight. Thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. And He says in the verses to come that He will bring them back to the land. That they are not out of His mind. That their judgment is not passed over from Him. Even in the verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. In other words, not one person would be left behind. Not one person would miss out on His blessing. Not one person would miss out on that invitation to come before Him. Dear child of God, this morning, are you feeling rejected? Do you feel like your way is hid from the Lord? Do you feel like your judgment is passed over from your God? Like these people here in Babylon, they felt rejected. We praise the Lord that He doesn't leave His people here feeling rejected, because secondly, God causes them to face reality. After feeling rejected, God calls them to face reality in the verse 28. And again, He poses these questions. He causes His people to think in the verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He asked them, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Of course these people knew. Of course the people in Babylon knew, because they had heard the word of the Lord from the prophets. They had simply forgotten. The events around them had caused them to forget or not to take as seriously, not to take to heart as much as they had before the precious promises that God had given to them. In fact, they had even started to forget or started to ignore who God was himself. God has to reiterate his majesty and his power through the chapter. He causes them to remember who he is, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, reminding them of the God that still had his eye on them. The God who didn't have their way hid from him. The God who hadn't passed over their judgment. God's causing them to remember, hast thou not known? Dear believer, this morning, hast thou not known? Have you not known this morning? Have you not heard? Of course you have. You have the word of God here this morning, filled with his wonderful promises, filled with his wonderful truths. You've seen how God has moved in your life before and how he says he will continue to do so. Maybe these distractions over the last 12 months have caused you to forget. And God's asking you to search deep within your heart and your soul this morning, even to search in the scriptures. Have you not known? Remind yourselves of these wonderful truths, not only of the promises that God gives, but of the one who gives these promises, who it is that we serve this morning. And these people had become distracted with everything that had happened. They were in exile, and they had grown depressed, they had grown discouraged. And God needed to remind them. And that even in these difficult days, even while they were in Babylon, God still had his eye upon them. God still had concern for them. And he wants to remind them of these wonderful truths. You know, one of the Psalms that was written in the exile, may not know the reference, but I'm sure you know the Boney M song by the Rivers of Babylon. It's taken from Psalm 137. And in the verse 4, the writer of that psalm says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They felt like they couldn't praise the Lord because of where they were. And maybe that's the case for some of you this morning. Maybe there's one this morning and you just feel like sharing the sentiments of the psalmist. How can I sing the Lord's song in these difficult days? How can I sing the Lord's song in this strange land? Well, God's causing you to remember. God's asking you this morning, have you not known? Have you not heard of the God that you serve this morning? You see, God reminds the people not only of the promises that he gives them, but he reminds them of who it is that keeps his eye upon them, who it is that they're serving, who it is that keeps his hand upon them. He reminds them of who he is. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. He reminds his people here of his titles. He reminds them of his character. He starts off, he calls himself the everlasting God. The everlasting God, the one who has no beginning, the one that will have no end, the one who has planned the course of history, the one who has decreed all things to be, the one who created time, the one who created space, the one who created matter, the everlasting God. We can take comfort in the everlasting God this morning. We can take comfort in the Lord this morning, the self-existent one, the one who needs no help from another, the one who is separate, the one who is set apart, the one who is all reigning, the one who is all powerful, the one who needs no help, the one that had his eye upon his people in Babylon doesn't need any help. The one who has his eye upon us this morning doesn't need any help. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who made all things, the one who owns all things, the one who controls all things, the one who knows all things. Going through the chapter 40, how he, again, even in the verse 12, he speaks of that creation, how he has created it all. He holds the hills in the balances, weighs out the dust of the earth, holds the waters in his hand. If God even created Babylon, nothing was out of his care. Nothing was out of his power. I wonder if we take comfort in this side of God's character. What is God to you today? What is God to you this morning? Is he the everlasting God to you in these days? Is he the one who has no beginning or end? Is he the one who has controlled all things? Is he the Lord? Is he the self-existent one? Is he the one that you can run to knowing that he in his own strength is able to suffice? That he is the only one who's able to help through his own power? Is he the creator of the ends of the earth to you this morning? Is he the one who still controls all things? Is he the one with whom nothing can take surprise? Nothing can take him by surprise? Is he the creator to you this morning? Does he hold all things in the palm of his hand? What is God to you this morning? God's asking you, have you not known, have you not heard of who he is? Because even though he's all of these things, he's not simply boasting about his name, but he also tells them about his nature. He is the everlasting God, he is the Lord, he is the creator of the ends of the earth, but he also lives up to that, because he fainteth not. Neither is he weary. Because he is all-powerful, because he is the everlasting God, because he is the Lord, nothing gets past him, nothing gets underneath him, nothing is able to overcome him. He is all-powerful, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. That's the reality that he wants his people in Babylon to remember. That's the reality he wants us to remember this morning. Is God causing you to face reality? Is God giving you a fresh sense of who he is this morning? Have you lost sight of who it is we're serving? Have you lost sight of the one who has redeemed us? Have you lost sight of the one who loves us and has washed us from sin? Even though Israel felt rejected, God caused them to face reality. And again, he doesn't even stop there. He doesn't cause them to stay in a place of self-pity and despair when they felt rejected. He doesn't leave them in a place simply with head knowledge when he causes them to face reality. But he gives them a faithful renewal. He gives them a faithful renewal in the verses to come. In the verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. You know, God doesn't want to leave you this morning in a place of self-pity. He doesn't want to leave you feeling rejected. He doesn't simply want to give you head knowledge this morning whenever you face reality, but he wants to give you a faithful renewal. He wants to renew you this morning. He wants you to wait upon him so he can intervene. And we get to these verses here at the end of the chapter. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. And again, this reflects how God isn't only God in name, but he's God in nature. Because he is the everlasting God, because he is the Lord, because he is all-powerful, he is able to give power to the faint. Because he has an unlimited resource of power, because he has an unlimited resource of strength, he is able to give power to the faint and to increase strength in those that have no might. Well, when the people here in Babylon were at the end of their rope, and they had come to the end of their resources, whenever they had used up their last piece of hope that they had within them, God comes in and he says, I can give power to the faint. To them that have no might, I am able and indeed will increase strength. You know, whenever we faint, we have no strength. And we cannot trust within ourselves to help any longer. Whenever we've come to the end of our strength, when we've come to the end of our own power, we need somebody else to undertake and somebody else to intervene. And we can thank God this morning that he says, he giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. If you turn your eye over to verse 10 of chapter 41. And God gives these people a wonderful promise. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's his strength. It's his upholding. It's his help. It's his presence that's our help this morning. How he undertakes for us. We can rest in his power. Again, taking time to read through all of chapter 40, you see his might and his power displayed. Read it in your own time. And then ask yourselves, even going back to the first question we thought of earlier, why can we say that our way is hid from the Lord? He gives power to the faint, to those who have no might. He increaseth strength. That's a faithful renewal he wants to give to his people this morning. Read on into the verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. This idea behind the word young men, it's those who are, the idea of being chosen young men, those who are ready for war, those who are ready for battle, those who are in some sense at the peak of their physical and mental condition. It's the idea that's seen in Daniel chapter 1, whenever men are sent into Jerusalem from Babylon to find those who were ready, who could be educated, those who could be used by the king in different areas of service to serve the king in Babylon. And the young men that we see of there in Daniel chapter 1, the likes of Daniel, the likes of his three friends, they're the young men that they're speaking of here in the verse 30. But even they, God says, shall utterly fall. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. Even those at the peak of condition, whether it's physical or mental, even they will have their day and it will come to an end. Maybe as these young men are brought to Babylon and there's some within the camp of God's people who think, well, these are going to be the ones who to stir up a rebellion. These are going to be the ones who will lead us out. This is going to be the army that God's going to use to take us out. God says, even these youths shall faint and be weary. Even these young men shall utterly fall. You know, whenever we're in the prime of our strength, even that has its limits. You can only go for so long, even in a spiritual sense. If you're at the peak of spiritual strength, even that has its limits whenever it comes to yourself. And God's reminding his people, both in Babylon and here this morning, that we need him in all things. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And again, God doesn't leave them in that place, but he gives them this wonderful promise that he says he will fulfill in the verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This idea behind the word wait, it doesn't simply mean to stand looking at your watch waiting for God to intervene and complaining about how long it takes for him to intervene, but it's to look forward to. Those who look for the Lord, those who hope on the Lord, those who expect the Lord. It's the idea of expectancy. This idea of hope, this idea of faith in the Lord, looking towards him in trust, looking towards him to intervene, looking to him and having faith in him that he knows our need. You know, these people in Babylon, they had needs, and some of them were convinced that God didn't know about it. And God's reminding his people there, wait upon the Lord. And they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall have a spiritual joy once again. Mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. You know, he knows your need this morning. He knows your need this morning, and he knows when you're going to need whatever it is you need. You know, God has already seen what's going to come in the days to pass. And he knows when he is going to intervene in your life before you know he needs to intervene. He has it all planned out. And even whenever we see those difficult days approaching, we, like Paul, should be able to say, my God shall supply all my need. Not according to our strength, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's his strength, it's his might, it's his power that he gives to his people who wait upon him, to those who need renewed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, it's not just a recharge of the batteries here that God's speaking about. He's not just talking about some fresh dose of strength, something to keep you going for a wee while, but it's the thought of a complete changeover. The idea of a substitute, as if he's taking the batteries out and putting new ones in. Not just the sake of charging up for a wee while, but a fresh sense of power, a fresh sense of strength and might and increased power. You know, we often say we feel like we need the batteries recharged. And it can be very, very tiring in these days. But what God says, what God promises to give us here is more than a fresh recharge, but a complete renewal, a complete changing over, a completely fresh sense of power and strength. And it's a strength that we're able to take this morning. It's a strength that he promises to give to those who wait upon the Lord, to those who hope on him. And it's a strength that will be able to see us through any situation. Look at how God describes how people will feel after they have the strength renewed. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In every single aspect, this strength will be able to undertake. Whether it's those who feel like they need to mount up their wings as eagles, those who are in fast-paced days, those who need strength to see them through very difficult tasks. Whether it's maybe it's those who feel like not maybe mounting up, but those that need to run. Those who aren't as fast-paced, those who aren't as busy, those who aren't filled with as many difficulties as other people, but still need some sense of strength to see them through. They shall run and not be weary. And even those who just walk, even they shall walk and not faint. Even those who are in perhaps quieter days, even in days where there aren't that as many difficulties and as many trials, not as busy as the eagles mounting up, not as busy as those who run, but even in the days where we just walk, even then we shall not be faint. There's nothing too difficult, nothing too big, and nothing too small for God's strength not to work. God will undertake in all areas. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and it's a strength that'll be able to cover every aspect of our lives. You know, with this last illustration, I'll close. I'm not really into plants. Maybe some of you are into gardening. And whenever I was younger, my mum used to play a piece on the piano all the time. It was an old Irish poem changed into a song, Believe Me, of all those endearing young charms. And there was a line in that song, came across the words of it a few months ago, and it was a line in there that confused me. It says, as the sunflower turns on her God when he sets, the same look that she gave when he rose, and I couldn't understand what that meant, so I took to Google. I know it's a dangerous thing to do sometimes, but I came across this term for those who are into gardening. I hope I'm doing it justice here when I'm trying to describe it. It's called heliotropism, and it's this idea that the face of the plant moves in direction to the sunlight. That as the sun moves from east to west, the face of that plant moves from east to west. And that back in the morning time, the face of that plant is facing the east again. Which causes me to think that in those dark hours, whenever the sun is not there, in the night time, that the face of that plant moves back from the west to the east, expecting the sun to rise again. Expecting the sun to cause its face to shine upon it again. You know, even in our darkest night, dear believer, even in those moments where we feel like the sun, the light of the Father, is not there, we're like Job. We lament and we cry, I look all around me, but I cannot see him. How we can still, spiritually speaking, turn our face towards the east, expecting God to show his strength again in the hours to come. What wonderful promises we have here as people of God to think on this morning. Whether you're those who feel rejected, those who need to face reality, those who need a faithful renewal, how God has such concern for us that he promises to renew our strength this morning. And if we wait on him, if we fully trust in him this morning for our strength, with the help of his Holy Spirit working in us, how much more do you think we'd be able to do for him? If he was our source of strength and power in the days to come, what could we do for him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your precious word this morning. Pray you would write it and bless it upon each and every heart. Father, we pray for those who need that sense of renewal. Father, we all do in some sense, but particularly, Lord, for those who feel like they're just at the end of their own strength, that they've come to the end of their resources. Father, those who have been distracted with everything that's happened over the last 12 months and feel like they don't know where to turn. Father, we pray that this precious word would be a reminder for them, that you would be asking their soul this morning, asking them personally, wherever they may be, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Why sayest thou that your way is hid from the Lord? Father, remind them of your love and your grace. Remind them that they can come to you for strength and power. For we ask it in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Victoria and Ruth's going to sing for us now. Thank you very much, Victoria and Ruth. Remember to join with us at the drive-in church at 3 o'clock. Thank you.